How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
On the under $3 menu at McDonald's, a McChicken is $1.50. Because when you're craving a McChicken, you deserve a McChicken. And now that McChicken is just $1.50 with McValue.
Limit time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of A Football Friday Live right here on the early line on SportsGrid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Week number 13 of the NFL regular season already underway, kicking off on a Thursday with some points at the Star in Dallas. 41-35, the victory for the Cowboys. Dallas improves to 9-3, and we finally saw some offense in primetime in an NFL game. 38 NFL primetime games now this year in 2023. 29 of them under, but 9 overs after last night out in Texas. We hope that continues into this weekend, Donnie. Here in hour number two, we'll set the stage for week number 13 and that NFL Sunday slate. And then in hour three, we get to conference championship weekend that starts on this Friday in college football.
Yeah, it's a good time to be alive here, certainly breaking down college football and the NFL. I'm going to enjoy this weekend immensely here, hoping for chaos, but not too much chaos. The only chaos we need is a bad Florida State team to lose to Louisville, and that's what we're looking for this weekend then. There you go.
Don't notice any Louisville garb on our own Donnie Wrightside. Maybe his allegiances are starting to change back to FSU. Some injury update. Yeah, go ahead, Donnie, please.
No, but I just wanted to say that I actually put on a black suit jacket and a red Nike polo. It didn't look all that good, but also I didn't want to throw the reverse jinx in where they go, knew Donnie was a 49ers fan. So that's actually why I'm not wearing red and black today, to be honest. Yes. I wanted to be
Listen, the wheels are spinning right now. Donnie Wrightside is ahead of it, always thinking toward the future. Speaking of a guy that wears red Nike polos, Tiger Woods should be in action on the course on Sunday at the Hero World Challenge. We'll have a preview of the weekend out in the Bahamas coming up in just a few minutes. But we keep it going here. Week number 13 of the NFL Sunday slate, and we want to welcome in that Sports Grid radio audience as well. Sirius XM Channel 150. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix. He is Donnie. I am Ben. A divisional duel in the AFC South. To end out hour number one, it was a focus on the 6-5 football teams in the AFC wildcard chase. The Houston Texans, a 3.5-point home favorite on Sunday, hosting the Denver Broncos. But both of those teams currently looking up at another 6-5 team that occupies the 7th and final AFC postseason position. That's the Indianapolis Colts. Of course, we got the news earlier this week. Jonathan Taylor should be on the sidelines for about 2 to 3 weeks dealing with a right thumb injury or just a thumb injury overall. Will not be there on Sunday in Nashville as Indianapolis visits Tennessee. It's a virtual pick'em. Minus 116 money line for the Colts. Minus 102 on the other side for the Titans. So in a pick'em, who wins?
Yeah, I think I'm getting a bargain here with the Colts. I do, and I know most people will say, well, Jonathan Taylor's down, I can't back him. Zach Moss is a legitimate backup here. Gardner Minshew and the boys, 3 straight wins, but also, it's not so much about what I expect out of the Indianapolis Colts. It's what I'm not getting out of the offense here for the Tennessee Titans. Let's go back. Forget about the game, and I don't want to say forget about it, but surprising comeback, 4 touchdown passes. You beat the Atlanta Falcons at home. You scored 28 points. Hey, look at that. Maybe you got lightning in a bottle here with Will Levis at quarterback. Well, that lightning certainly got kept in a bottle over the past month. Yeah. 16-6, 14-17. And you might say, hey, Donnie, they won last week. Number one, it was the Carolina Panthers. And number two, 80 yards on the ground, 184 in the air. The previous week before that, 92 on the ground, 143. Before that, 42 yards on the ground, 167 in the air. It's not clicking for that offense for the Tennessee Titans. Shane Steichen has done a wonderful job with the Colts. They're going to go on the road in the division and pick up a victory for me, Ben.
Indianapolis is a slight favorite in this game. Donnie, often I look at the against the spread numbers and what the trends say for a football game. When it's minus 116 money line on one side, 14 cents of difference on the other side, against the number is really not all that important. It's about winning the game outright. Tennessee, winless in the division so far in AFC South games. They've been an underdog in 9 of their 11 games so far this year. Indy 2-2 in the division. This is only their fourth time as a favorite, but in the previous three, a perfect 3-0, both straight up, which is important here, and against the spread if the line were to balloon by the time we get to Sunday. Indy also 4-1 away from Indianapolis this year. A pretty impressive mark for this Colts side. And Donnie, these two teams, the Colts and the Texans, will play each other to end out the regular season, week number 18. That game could be incredibly impactful for an AFC wild card spot because the Colts have that third and final right now. Houston 6-5. Denver 6-5. Again, the Texans and the Broncos will face off on Sunday in H-Town. Elsewhere around the NFL, week 13, Sunday slate, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a 5.5-point home favorite at Acrisure against the Arizona Cardinals. The total 41.5. We saw a little bit of offense out of the Steelers last week, their first game out gaining an opponent so far this season. They're 7-4, booked as a 5.5-point favorite. Donnie, what do you think the game looks like on Sunday in the Steel City?
Defense starting to come around for the Pittsburgh Steelers at the right moment here. Now, keep in mind also in the Keystone State, some rain effective here. The Philadelphia Eagles game looks like it's going to have some drizzle, but on the West Coast, or should I say the West side of the state, you're actually going to get a little bit more rain in Pittsburgh. So if we're looking at maybe more of the running game, the ground game, you might be able to lean on James Conner. Keep in mind, James Conner coming back to Pittsburgh, pretty big deal. So the fan base will welcome him in, probably have some emotional, you know, video board content, and away you go. But having said that, away you go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they win big, and win by margin.
Yeah.
I like the good vibes on the field this week, finally opening up the offense. You're going against an inferior team that really is just saying, how quickly can we get to the offseason and reassess our quarterback position, maybe make trades and get some good high draft pick value. I look for the Pittsburgh Steelers to win this one fairly easily.
The Cardinals just 2-10. They're, in fact, the only team that has played 12 games this year that is not on the bye this weekend. That's next weekend for Arizona, a standalone bye week for the Cardinals. They've been an underdog in all 12 games, 6-6 against the spread, did cover in their first two with Kyler Murray back at the quarterback spot. The Steelers, as a favorite, though, have covered in their last three games, booked as a favorite. If it's wet, if it's sloppy, if points are at a premium, that favors Pittsburgh. They have been under in 9 of their 11 games. And here is that AFC postseason picture at the moment where the Steelers and the Browns both at 7-4, the top two wildcard teams we mentioned, Indianapolis, at 6-5. The Chargers very much on the outside of the postseason picture looking in right now, but the Bolts, a 5.5-point favorite in Foxborough on Sunday against the Patriots team that's just 2-9.
Yeah, the funny part about this is you actually find yourself trying to want to take the New England Patriots, knowing full well of how the Chargers always charger themselves in football games. But it looks like this week they're finally making the move to Bailey Zappe, which you can't even say anything's better than Mac Jones because Zappe isn't that good as is. They don't have much weapons. DeMario Douglas might be in concussion protocol, miss this football game. The only pulse they have at the wide receiver position. Maybe we see a big victory by the Chargers, but for me, betting on it, not going to happen.
Not at all. You would be interested to see LA as a 4-7 team and ask yourself, why is a 4-7 team ever laying 5.5 points? But the Patriots just 1-6 spread as an underdog this year. To the golf course next on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tiger Woods is back on the golf course playing competitive golf, and that is something to celebrate. We do that here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is on the right, and now joining us here on TEL, it is Keith Stewart doing some great golf handicapping for Read the Line, a PGA professional as well. So you know anything he says about the Hero World Challenge and what remains in the final three rounds is very, very credible. Keith, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on this Friday.
Guys, it's an exciting time. Tiger Woods, you're seeing golf on SportsCenter. He's in the Wall Street Journal. NBC's adding coverage. Come on, it doesn't get any better for a golf guy like me.
It does not at all. Anytime Tiger Woods is back on the golf course, it is noteworthy. This time at the Hero World Challenge, the event, of course, that he hosts out in Albany in the Bahamas. And yesterday in the opening round, there was a couple of thrills, Keith, seeing the big cat back stalking the golf course. A couple of 300-plus yard drives. He drilled a 48-footer for birdie, putting a little bit of excitement into the crowd there in the Bahamas. But an opening round 75. For his first competitive round of golf in nearly 275 days. Keith, what was your takeaway from Tiger's first round at the Hero World Challenge?
Well, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but one of the things is that is a big concern to me is can we get four healthy rounds out of Tiger? Can he live up to that press conference where he said he's going to play for, you know, one time a month, maybe in 2024? And the thing that I picked up on is that when he was picking his ball up out of the hole, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but he was putting his weight on his right leg, and that's the bad ankle. So that to me says that, you know what, he's not feeling the pain there that he had since the car accident in that leg, and the swing looked good. He was one under par through 14, and I'm sure Donnie thinks at that point, you know, maybe I don't know if I can take him, and then he finishes with 75, and he's like, you know what, I can get I make double bogeys, and so does Tiger. Guess what, folks? Give him three more rounds. I think Tiger's going to be way more relevant because he's not favoring that leg anymore, and that looks good to me.
Moving the needle, certainly what Tiger Woods does. Nobody does it. Even if he comes back on a partial schedule, the golf fans will look forward to when he's playing, as we're doing here in the Hero World Challenge. But what is the pathway forward? What are the expectations, Keith, that we could take a look at and say, you know what? What is a good season for Tiger Woods on the PGA Tour?
Well, I tell you what, that's a great question, Donnie, and that's what has us all excited. This week, we want to get through four healthy days. We don't want to see what we have seen in the seven events that he's played since the car accident, which is the decline of skills and fatigue through the four rounds of all the different tournaments, and sometimes he doesn't make it to Sunday. So if we could see some health for four straight days here and he's building on something, that's really good. So I go back to the press conference. When's the last time Tiger said anything about his schedule before 4:59 p.m. on the Friday before the event and he gives out his press release? Never. And for him to say that he's going to try to play one time a month, now everyone's like, oh, we're going to get 12 Tiger, you know, tournaments in 2024. That's not what he means. But between February and through the major season, five, six events for all that surrounds Tiger Woods, boy, that would not only be exciting, but the needle would be off the charts. It would be off the meter. And I know all of us, and you guys would be seeing me a lot more on a Friday morning. I know that for a fact.
Awesome. We love to hear that. Tiger, as you saw right there, 18th at this moment after the first round at the Hero World Challenge. It's a short field. There's only 20 guys in the field, so he's not in last. The reigning U.S. Open champion, Wyndham Clark, four over in his opening 18 holes. Will Zalatoris, coming back from a back injury, is nine over par. He sits in last. So, Keith, as we get ready for the weekend, Friday, and then, of course, into the final two rounds on Saturday and Sunday, where do you think Tiger Woods finishes at the end of the Hero World Challenge?
You know, I still think there's a very good chance that he finishes in that top 10. I know people are going to say I'm crazy, but guess what? Today his over-under on FanDuel is 71.5. So they're saying, do you think he can break par? But if you look at the odds on that, he's minus 150 to break par. So they're not just hedging their chances that they're not going to lose any money, but they think that that he's going to continue to play better because of that positive press conference round after round. And I think they're right. I mean, from what we saw yesterday, he's not favoring the leg. Everyone's going to say, well, he has a limp. You know, I mean, rap stars are always looking for a good limp. Now Tiger has one, and we're going to complain? Come on, what are we talking about? I mean, he's going to have a limp because his leg is fused. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if he's not feeling pain there, he's going to continue with reps to get better and better. And the mental fatigue that he showed yesterday, going four over on the last four holes, it's not going to happen anymore. So I would take the under on that 71.5 today that FanDuel's throwing. And then I would also take him against Fowler. I mean, that head-to-head in their pairing today, Ricky Fowler, he's really struggled since he won at the Rocket Mortgage. He hasn't been good with the putter, and he was almost last in the field with the putter yesterday. Tiger's going to continue to get better. I think Fowler kind of stays in the funk that he's in. So those are two things that I'm leaning on from a handicapping perspective.
And if some people not watching this golf tournament, not familiar where it's being played in the Bahamas, I was actually pretty upbeat, watching Tiger Woods being upbeat after going, you know what, physically I'm okay. Just got to get in the gym, work on some things, and see if I can put it together here. How does this golf course fit Tiger Woods' games, and or is this a golf course here that we can actually score on where if you are sitting there +3, the leader is -5, where maybe you can make a charge, birdieable holes, eagle holes, stuff like that?
I mean, that's such a thoughtful question, Donnie. At the end of the day, this is the perfect spot for him to return. Not just because there's going to be limited media, limited fans, and limited circus, right? But it's got five par fives. It's a par 72, 7,400 yards. Length isn't the problem. First tee shot yesterday, 328 yards. Tiger still has his speed, right? But those five par fives give him the opportunity to miss a couple shots throughout the day and still score on those holes. There's two drivable par fours. Those seven holes alone are why in the seven editions there at the Albany Golf Club that the average winning score is 19 under par. It's the perfect spot for Tiger to come back. All the things that he was great at in his career, you know, just destroying par fives, short par fours, scoring, you know, in quick fashion, a little bit of short game magic around the greens, all of those things favor him at Albany. So again, I think that this is just such a great place for him to come back.
Keith, outside of Eldrick, that man known as Tiger Woods, the two tied at the top of the leaderboard following round number one, the champion golfer of the year who won at the Open, Brian Harman, he was 5 under, as was Tony Finau, 5 under par after his opening 18 holes. Jordan Spieth, a sporadic Open 18, he's 4 under sitting at third. When you look at the outright odds, Scottie Scheffler still booked as the favorite at 4-1. What do you make of the top of the leaderboard entering this weekend at the Hero World Challenge?
Well, the two names at the top that really scare me are obviously Scheffler and then a little bit further down, Max Homa. Those other two guys, Harman, Finau. I mean, Finau's been really shaky with the short game and the putter for the entire summer, and he hasn't played since the Tour Championship. He wasn't in the Ryder Cup. So he's had 3 months off. For him, there's going to be rust. For Harman, I saw him a couple weeks ago. I was at the RSM down on Sea Island. He looked like he'd been doing a lot of hunting. It is hunting season, and that's Harman's thing. He's a great Bermuda grass player, and he's good on coastal golf courses. Hey, he won the Open Championship, right? So I'm stating the obvious a little bit there. But when it comes down to it, Scotty looked pretty sharp. The putter, it was positive yesterday. He's been runner up there the last 2 years in a row. You know, further down, if you want to take a chance on somebody, Victor Hovland, who came in as the favorite, he's won the last 2 years of the Hero World Challenge on the same golf course. On both weekends, he shot 11 under par. Right now, if you look at FanDuel's board, for a top five, he's +185, and he's triple the odds was that he was when he started the tournament, you know, now at +1400 to win it. So I might sprinkle a little either way there, but it's probably Scotty's tournament to lose.
Victor Hovland over par in his opening round yesterday at the Albany Golf Club out in the Bahamas. Keith Stewart, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us live right here on this Friday on the Early Line. Enjoy the weekend, and we all enjoy seeing Tiger Woods back on the golf course.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy Tiger.
We certainly will. Back here on the Early Line when we come back from the commercial break. It's a Football Friday once again. We preview the Week 13 Sunday slate up next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a football Friday once again, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. Donnie is here. And now joining us on a football Friday with no tie, but we'll still let him on the show anyway, it is Mike Blewett. You can see Big Blue on Sunday afternoons hosting in-game live throughout that late afternoon window, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time, live right here on the Spiz Grizz to take you through the afternoon action that you will see week number 13 of the NFL Sunday slate, and really every Sunday slate each and every week. Mike Blewett, thank you as always for taking the time to join us here on this Friday.
Thanks, boys. Sorry that I'm as casual as I am today. If I had gotten the note about the formality, I would have been dressed to the nines just like Keith Stewart, who looked resplendent in his shirt and tie. I think next week I come with a tux to really set the tone for the weekend.
Listen, we had a couple of wardrobe malfunctions on this Friday. Donnie Wrightside was supposed to come in the red and black of his favorite college, that being Louisville, as he was hoping the Cards take down Florida State on Saturday night in the ACC championship game. But he didn't want to put the jinx on his Philadelphia Eagles, so he went with the blue jacket, as you see. I'm sans jacket, baby, until we get to Saturday on College Football Today. Anyway, enough about fashion. Let's talk football and get you ready for week number 13. Blue out in the Big Easy on Sunday. It's the Saints and the Lions. Of course, Detroit looking to bounce back from the disaster on Turkey Day, losing outright as a 7.5-point favorite at home to their divisional foe, the Green Bay Packers. Now, only a 4.5-point spread in favor of the Lions, even on the road against the Saints. Blue, what do you make of that intriguing line on Sunday?
It's a pretty interesting game, right? We're trying to figure out, are these teams what we thought they've been throughout the year? Clearly, the Lions rattled our cage a little bit because we thought maybe they're pushing their way up into the elite teams in the NFL, and then they can't protect Goff at all. A lot of the criticism has fallen on Goff, but I watched every second of that game, covered it live here on the grid, and he was under duress the entire game. That dominant offensive line played nothing like it on Thanksgiving. And you look forward at the Lions' schedule, Bears, Broncos, Vikings, Cowboys, Vikings again, they're going to be favored in all of those games except at Dallas. So the Lions have an opportunity here to go on a real run. I do think this is a get right spot for the Lions, and I know they're seen as a home team overall, but a few more numbers for them. 12-3 against the number on more than 6 days rest. 8-2 on the road against the number, and 6-1 on Sunday. So when they're not in a primetime scenario, they're covering the games. And 10-5 in road conference games against the numbers. On the other side of the coin, New Orleans 2-13 at home versus teams with a winning record. Dallas Cowboys get a ton of criticism for not beating winning teams. The Saints against winning teams at home are not covering that number. The 4.5 can be scary. I get it, but I think the Lions are going to get back to business. That little mini buy that they had, I think, is the proper way for them to get back to where they were. And I think the Lions are going to rip off a few wins here before they play Dallas.
They should. But a couple weeks ago, I was looking at the Detroit Lions saying, hey, you know what? There's a sneaky chance they can actually get home field advantage away from the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers because I like the way the schedule was setting up. You take a look, they just got by Chicago, probably should have lost that game, but had a furious comeback. And then you saw the Thanksgiving Day game, which they lost. I think the mini buy is key. And also, it is the perfect tonic, New Orleans. You should be able to hold that team down on offense and really do whatever you want because they are a great home team, as you pointed out. They're a great dome team as well. New Orleans, where do they play? They play in a dome. But let's flip it over to another team of a dome aspect going outdoors. That's the Atlanta Falcons and the New York Jets. Ritter's going to be the quarterback in this game, which I don't mind. Bijan Robinson, now he's finally getting used in the backfield, and the offense is better because of that. But for me, it's simple. The New York Jets are starting Tim Boyle. I can't back that side. It's only Atlanta for me. Mike, what are you taking a look at in this game between the Jets and the Atlanta Falcons?
I think we're on the same page, Donnie. I just do not see a way right now. The only way the Jets can be in this game is the way, frankly, they won other games during the year. The defense can get in Ritter's face, create some turnovers. But I think we're seeing some cracks in the armor there because, I mean, what is a team to do when their offense has no opportunity to score? We've seen this with other teams in the past. The defense starts to get worn out. And I think the number one bet in this game is the Jets under their team total of 16.5, which is alarmingly high, to be honest. I think it's a bad number. I just don't see the Jets getting to 17 points. I'm going to take their team total unders probably for the rest of the year, whether they hit this one or not. They're not able to score consistently unless the defense sets them up. They have had two total, and one was in a blowout on Black Friday, two sustained drives, touchdown drives, in the last 2 months. 2 months. The Chiefs was the last time they had a sustained touchdown drive of more than one play until Friday. So they do not generate any offense at all unless the defense sets them up. Ridder can do that, but I think we're seeing what Atlanta wants to do. Last game out, that was the blueprint. Bijan Robinson, heavy dose of him, and they're going to try to control the clock and keep the Jets off the field even more than they need to be.
Some interesting reverse line movement here, though. The line was 3 all week long in favor of the Falcons. Now 1.5. Aaron Rodgers isn't playing this week. That's for sure. Interesting movement in this game. The Jets 4-5 against the spread as an underdog this year. Blue, before we move on, I got to say, man, I'm a little bit disappointed in you when we were breaking down the Lions in the Saints game. We didn't play our favorite trivia game here on a Football Friday. Would you like to go back and play our favorite game, please?
I would like to. I do not have questions lined up because simply the Saints did ultimately break their streak of unders, but there are heavy under trends for the Saints. If you would like to ask me a question, I'm in.
Well, I see here a note that says a heavy under trend when the Saints are an underdog and they're getting 4.5 in NOLA on Sunday. Yes. So do you want me to ask, or do you want to take it?
That is my note. So we'll ask Donnie. I forgot what note you were referencing. So Donnie,
he's never looked at the rundown.
In the last, I know what's going on here, Ben. So in the last 7 games as an underdog, Donnie, how many times have the Saints gone to the under?
I'm going to go 7 times here.
That's right, all 7, baby.
There we go.
Yes, Donnie. Fantastic.
There we go.
What does he win? What does Donnie win?
Terrible towel.
A firm handshake the next time I see him.
There we go.
Also, just bet the under, and he'll win money, whatever he bets on it. That's the beauty of playing that trivia game with Mike Blewett. All right, now we move on. An NFC South divisional duel on Sunday in Tampa Bay. And it's one of those spots after Carolina fired Frank Reich on Monday morning. What do the Panthers do for the rest of this season? The evaluation piece of the Bryce Young story in his rookie campaign after also letting go of the quarterback coach in Charlotte, Josh McCown, an assistant head coach and running backs coach, Deuce Staley as well. It's a 5.5-point spread in favor of the Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been booked as a favorite 3 previous times this year, Mike, but never more than laying a field goal on that spread. Now it's 5.5. Do you think we see, Mike Blewett, that interim bump on Sunday in Tampa?
We have obviously seen it. The Steelers, after firing Matt Canada, had a nice offensive output. Only 16 points, but I think there were some trends there that we think the Steelers might be playing a little bit better. We've seen this in other instances as well. I just really don't look. David Tepper is obviously earning a reputation as a meddlesome owner. He's earned that now. Yeah. He's firing guys midseason for the second year in a row. I think Frank Reich made some mistakes in handing off the play calling and then pulling it back. I think it's a little confusing. But when I watch the Panthers, I don't really think that it's a matter of poor coaching. Now, that could contribute, but I see Bryce Young getting swallowed up on nearly every play. I just really don't see that he has a supporting cast that's helpful. Adam Thielen is the only reliable player on the entire offense. It's a Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders back and forth. Terrace Marshall and the other wide receivers in that core are absent for the entire year. I just don't even really see what they can do to help Bryce all that much other than try to protect him. It's not like they don't have resources in that offensive line. They're just not playing like it. I understand why people want to bet on the interim bump, and 5.5 feels like a lot for a Tampa team that doesn't score all that much, but I just don't really see a lot of positives the rest of the year for the Panthers. It just doesn't really feel like a coaching issue to me. It feels like ownership all the way down. They've failed the team and not supported their number one overall pick with enough talent. So I wouldn't feel comfortable laying the 5.5. I just don't think the Panthers are going to do much for the rest of the year offensively.
I agree with you on that point here, Mike, because if it's under a touchdown, I'm like, this has the propensity where they can be really bad. But also, I love the fact that their entire offensive room has been blown out, which means whoever's calling the plays, I'm pretty sure the owner's not going to like, man, it'd be so great if you had the exact same playbook and exact same results this weekend. The reason I bring that up is the total opened up at 38.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We're now down to 36.5. For me, I look at the total going over because the new guy calling the plays is not going to say, hey, let's be real measured and handle football 40 times. This guy's saying, hey, look, I can coach this young quarterback. What do you think about the over-under in this game, Mike?
And I think Bryce's penchant for turnovers could lead you to some points anyway, Donnie. Put the Bucs in a better position. He's been the pick-six king of the year. So, look, they haven't scored 20 points since their bye week. That's five in a row that they've gone under their team total. Their team total is 14.5. So that's an interesting angle to attack. Maybe you like the over there.
Mike Blewett stays with us here for a second consecutive segment on this Football Friday to look at the marquee matchups this upcoming weekend around the NFL. Come back and join us on the Early Line in just a few.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and it's Mike Blewett for a second consecutive segment. Donnie and I, Blew, have given so many thoughts all week long on the NFC Championship game rematch from a year ago that we will see on Sunday and maybe even later on in January once again. It's the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers at Lincoln Financial Field in the city of brotherly love on Sunday afternoon. The Niners are a 2.5-point road favorite. The over-under is 47.5. So enough from Donnie and myself, Mike Blewett. What do you see in the game of the year number two or three, depending on who you ask in Philadelphia?
So obviously a fascinating game, and we got the goods delivered to us. I got to cover it live, Buffalo and Philly the other day. The game went past our show. It's the first time that that's happened this year. We had a game go past 8 o'clock, and I just got to sit there in the studio and watch it. It was a really fascinating game, and I think it continues to be fascinating how Philly is winning some of these games. They still, at times, are winning games without their best pitch, not playing their best game, and yet they're able to stay in it. And we can put aside all the controversy with calls and all that kind of stuff. The reality is Philly came from behind and earned that win with Jalen Hurts looking every bit like an MVP. But Josh Allen was able to move the ball pretty consistently, obviously, throughout the game. And I have a sense that Brock Purdy and the Niners offense, despite their dips in the past, I have a feeling that they are back on track and they'll be able to do the same. I expect points in this game. It wouldn't stun me if that game plays out in a similar fashion where the teams are going back and forth. I just have a difficult time watching Philly week after week not play their best and still win these games. I still think they're one of the elite, if not the best team in the NFL. But it's a lot to expect them to just rip off wins week after week when they're playing this caliber of opponent. I just think that the Niners are going to be better rested, obviously. A few games out, the Eagles went through it with the Bills. So I've got my edge to the Niners here. I think the Niners go on the road and get a win. And it'll make it even more fascinating long-term because Purdy will have proved that he can go on the road and get a monster win. A lot of his success, we haven't seen that element of it yet, and it's my biggest question mark about the 49ers for this season.
And the 49ers coming into this football game, like, trying to right a lot of wrongs. So the whole narrative around that game, which the Eagles won by 3 touchdowns, was, well, if we had our quarterback, we would have beat you. So you'll get some things figured out. And there's going to be no excuses. I don't think Fletcher Cox is going to play. Neither Dallas Goedert for the Philadelphia Eagles, two key components. But the Eagles aren't going to make any excuses. And nobody cares if the 49ers come in and beat the Eagles, where they say, oh, we were injured in that one. But let's move forward from this football game and the ramifications. Because keep in mind, the Dallas Cowboys are a quality football team. They're now coming off the mini bye to face the Philadelphia Eagles next week. Let's just say the Philadelphia Eagles lose to the 49ers, then lose to the Dallas Cowboys. So many things are up for grabs in the NFC. So if we put our money on this game, and let's just say the 49ers do win this, where do we go here with the 49ers for the rest of the way and the Philadelphia Eagles, Mike, in your determination?
Yeah, it's a good question, Donnie. And we've been talking about this Eagles, looking ahead on the Eagles with this, you know, Chiefs, Bills, Niners, Cowboys, Seahawks, who, despite the fact that they're 6-6, I think they proved last night that they can at least play with some of the better teams in the NFC. Mm-hmm. They're not an easy game anytime you go out there. I still am going to be on the Eagles for the rest of the way. If they lose both games, it puts things in a lot of flux. But I don't necessarily expect that. I'll take the Niners here, but I'm going to need to see exactly what that looks like. Is Dallas going to keep putting up these performances against teams that, against some of the elite teams? We all know the narrative around the Cowboys. They don't beat teams with a winning record until last night. Dak doesn't beat good teams. So they're going to need to prove it against Philly. I think going back to that Dallas-Philly game that happened previously, yes, Dallas hung with them, but I thought Dallas got far too much credit in losing that football game because they made key mistakes at the end of the game, which is the precise reason that we criticize them.
Yeah, absolutely so. Dallas right now with the early look ahead to that Week 14 matchup on Sunday Night Football, a 2.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The line has been taken off at this moment, but it was 2.5 entering Thursday Night Football, the second straight week for Philadelphia that they will face a marquee opponent who will be playing with the rest advantage. Anyway, as we go around the rest of the National Football League, Sunday Night Football this week, week number 13, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, between the Packers and the Chiefs at Lambeau Field. A 6-point line in favor of KC, the over-under 42.5. Blue, what is the approach to Sunday Night Football?
So Packers defense obviously played great. They're coming off the mini bye. The Chiefs got punched in the mouth against the Raiders and then came back and covered a big spread. I think there's been a lot of concern about the Chiefs not covering some of those big numbers, especially on the road. But I just don't see any way. I've watched enough of both of these teams now. I don't like laying 6 on the road. That's just the reality. So I'll find different ways to attack it. Chiefs overs, Chiefs props, maybe Packers unders. I just, Jordan Love in this spot against Mahomes, again, he has these games in front of him where he has to prove it. I think he did a nice job against the Lions. Obviously, they put up big points, but this is an elite defense now that he's going up against in a game that they need. I think the Chiefs, this is their time, right? They are playing for keeps now, and they know what is in front of them, securing a bye in the AFC playoffs and everything else that goes with it. I just think Jordan Love might be going through it on Sunday night. So I'm going to back the Chiefs and look for a live line. I think that's a possibility as well. The Packers come down, get a quick 3 or a quick 7. I think you can look for a live line here. It's what I was able to do last night with the Cowboys. I bet the Cowboys -4.5 live. It felt a lot better than laying the 9 points that was rolling around the books all week.
Yeah, Ben and I talked about this game earlier, Mike, and I was saying, like, hey, -6 for the Chiefs is a pretty good number there in Kansas City, let alone being on the road in Lambeau Field. Shows you a lot about what the odds makers think of what's going to take place here with Kansas City, and also what's going to take place with Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City heading down the stretch, because I do believe they're going to be the number one overall seed in the AFC when it's all said and done. But taking a look at the MVP marketplace, we got some movers and shakers. Jalen Hurts at a +190 price, followed now by Dak Prescott at +380, Patrick Mahomes at +470, Lamar Jackson, Tua Tagovailoa, and Brock Purdy now at a 10-1 price. If we're looking at that market for the top six here, I know if Jalen Hurts obviously beats the 49ers and the Cowboys, it will probably be his. But on your honest assessment here, who are you looking at in this MVP race that could be quite intriguing?
The problem with Dak is right now he's at a plus 380 number, and they're not even slated to win the division. They need a lot of help. For a team, Dak's numbers are awesome. What is he, 21 touchdowns and two picks in their last bunch of games? So
yeah,
the numbers are great. The offense looks great. But if you don't win your own division, how are you the MVP? It obviously has to go to Hurts. I don't care if Hurts' numbers aren't as good as Dak's. We've seen what happened. Hurts had his MVP moment last week. That's just what it is, and these awards tend to be about narratives. I'm not suggesting you go out and bet the favorite now at plus 190, but for Dak at plus 380 to be the second favorite, and he's not, he's losing his division by two games right now, that's not a good wager to make. I think a lot would have to happen, and I just don't think this was the time to bet Dak. I think you had to bet Dak way before this. Getting Patrick Mahomes at plus 470 this late in the season is interesting, but I think we'd all argue that the numbers aren't quite there year over year. Lamar at plus 650, if the Ravens are able to pull off a one seed, I think that's something that you're looking at, but it's going to be Hurts' award to lose from here on out, and there's obviously a possibility there given the level of competition that they have coming up. I would just be concerned as a Philly fan that they're not going to be worn out going into the playoffs. This is a brutal slate, a really brutal slate of games at teams that are throwing their best punch at the Eagles.
The last 10 winners of the NFL MVP award have all played the quarterback position. And fair or unfair, in football, we correlate team success and the wins and losses with only one position, and that's the quarterback. It's why often when you bet those individual markets or we see the individual awards, the quarterback and what he does for his team and their success overall based on record influences what the race is and what those odds have to say. Even though Jalen Hurts is not putting up the statistical numbers that are outpacing Dak Prescott, at least through the air. On the ground, he's on pace for another historic season in terms of rushing touchdowns. It's because the Birds have the best record in the NFL at 10-1. And Jalen Hurts has given us some moments in the marquee matchups for Philadelphia, like the walk-off touchdown in overtime against Buffalo a week ago that would be played in his MVP highlight reel. If Dak can do the same next week at home in the Star against the Eagles in those marquee games, against the Dolphins down the home stretch, maybe the narrative and the conversation starts to change. Blewett, a big one in Houston on Sunday. The Texans and the Broncos, 2-6-5 teams squarely in the race for an AFC wild card spot. The Texans a 3.5-point favorite, the over under 47.5. The Broncos, the hottest team in the AFC, winners of 5 in a row. Blewett, what's your breakdown for this matchup on Sunday in H-Town?
Maybe the toughest game on the slate this week. I really like what the Broncos have been able to do, and I know it's all ugly wins, but I am of the opinion that Sean Payton is one of the top coaches in the world. I've thought that from the beginning. Obviously, they had a really tough stretch, but they jettisoned personnel that wasn't working for them, and the defense got back on track. They've obviously been tough and limited teams. I just don't I would not want to lay the 3.5 here. I think the hook is important. I could see this being a 3-point game. So I like the Broncos to go on the road, certainly be competitive. I'll take the 3.5 points here, understanding that it could be a tight loss. But I think the hook is important, and I jump on it now before it gets to a flat 3, because I think you'll see more Broncos money coming in than Texans money over the weekend.
Moving forward in this, the AFC is quite packed there, and a lot of teams looking to make the playoffs in that 6th, 7th, and 5th seeds here. If we look at the winner of this football game, for me, I believe they make the playoffs. How about for the loser at your point of view here, Mike? Do you think that the Houston Texans and or the Denver Broncos can still get into the playoffs with a loss?
Starting to get really competitive down at the bottom. Colts, Steelers, Browns. Browns, I know, are down third-string quarterbacks, fourth-string, technically, if Flacco ends up playing. So I understand that that's a challenge, but you start to look at schedules. We're going to be schedule watching the rest of the way. So the Texans, even if they dump this game, they're at the Jets, at the Titans. They'll have the Browns, who knows who's playing quarterback, the Titans again, and then at the Colts. That Texans-Colts game in Week 18 could be a massive game for teams to make the playoffs. We talked about this a lot on Sunday. What's pretty fascinating about the AFC playoff picture is that we did think this was going to be a very competitive division, but the discussion points have changed a little bit in that
Yeah.
You know, not all these teams are quite as good as we thought. The Bills have taken a step back. The Chiefs' offense is a little bit wayward right now. The Ravens have blown games. So it's a little bit more about the holes in the teams than it is like, look how dominant it is at the top. Obviously, the Bengals effectively eliminated because of no Burrow. So I think they both have a shot still, Donnie, but I'd lean to the Texans over the Broncos if they were to lose.
Mike Blewett, we will see you on Sunday in game live right here on Sports Grid at 4:25 p.m. Eastern Time. More TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here to end out hour number two of a Friday on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Spiz Grizz Network. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And the Sports Grid app is always there, available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. When you scan the QR code on your screen or download it right now, all of our information and insight available in the palm of your hand. And you are going to need all of that info entering this weekend. We're previewing the Week 13 NFL Sunday slate here on this Football Friday, but it's a huge weekend of college sports. It's conference championship weekend in college football, and tonight, a couple of great college basketball games as well. A Big Ten opener for the top-ranked team in the nation, Purdue on the road in Welsh Ryan against Northwestern. Big 12, Big East battle between Houston and Xavier. And then, Donnie, the marquee matchup, a top-five tilt in the fog between Kansas and UConn. Connecticut ranked number 4 in the country. Kansas is number 5. The Jayhawks, a slight 2.5-point home favorite. UConn, of course, has won 24 consecutive non-conference games, including the 2023 NCAA tournament that ended with a national championship by double digits. They bring that streak to Lawrence, Kansas tonight.
And by the way, another streak broken here. Aren't we supposed to have a little fade the public action right here? Are we fading the public here and taking the Kansas Jayhawks at home? Well, you take a look at 7'2" center Hunter Dickinson, 7'2" center Mr. Clingdon here for Connecticut. You know where I'm going? Home team rules here. And by the way, I saw videos early this week, Ben. Check this out. These guys were packing the fog days in advance. Like, are these kids go to school? Do they have job? Like, what goes on here? How can you sit in an arena for 3 straight days getting ready for one basketball game? Come on now. Get your education, kids. It's not all about basketball.
What are you, a narc, dude? That's the lamest thing you've ever said, Donnie. That was truly awful. No,
I sent the videos
miss class,
in.
Skip class. Class doesn't matter. Be there for the game tonight inside Allen Fieldhouse in the fog. It's a Kansas line.
I mean, it is Kansas.
Jayhawks laying 2.5. Really come on now. Don't be rude. Don't be rude. Hour 3 in 55 seconds.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
On the under $3 menu at McDonald's, a McChicken is $2. Because when you're craving a McChicken, you deserve a McChicken. And now that McChicken is just $2 with McValue.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.